Well, shout out to the most disingenuous conversation I've seen on the internet today. Let's continue to silence white people, as Jared Taylor would say, and Christians, because who would ever want a Christian nation? I love the degeneracy. We love the gay porn. We love the kids being groomed. It's all a part of the American way. And of course, the conversation has come out. Is saying Christ is king anti-Semitic? Oh no. Who even cares about anti-Semitism? I actually don't. I think it's a psyop. But a lot of people do. In fact, it's such a big issue. The economy doesn't matter. The Federal Reserve doesn't matter. Quite frankly, whether you can pay your bills doesn't matter. As long as you're not offending certain groups of people by declaring your Christ is the king of the universe, then you are being a good little slave and you can continue to make your money. Sorry, Candace Owens, you're fired. Anyway, my name's Elijah Schaefer. We got a great show for you later. We'll be introducing my guest, Leonardo. She's a stand-up comic, very based, Albanian. You know her. You loved her. You guys requested her to come back on. Anyway, it's about 10.05 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States. We have a great show for you. Let's get into it. Well, fantastic. Jeremy Boring, I don't know if he's a CEO or ex-CEO of Daily Wire, said this on X. How is saying Christ is king anti-Semitic? Oh, the same way anything becomes anti-Semitic when it is used for the purpose of expressing anti-Semitism. It's like asking, how does a shovel become a murder weapon when it is used to murder someone? How can an African-American become useful to society? And I'm just kidding, he didn't go that far. But he's like, this isn't hard. A shovel is not innately a murder weapon. Saying Christ is king is not innately anti-Semitic. It's all about how a thing is used. Saying eat some cornbread, this is so based actually, eat some cornbread is not racist if I say it to my three-year-old son when she is refusing her dinner. But if I start saying it as a response to X post by black commentators I don't like, which by the way, you should start using this. He's saying anytime they tell you don't do something, do it. It is taken on a meaning beyond what is innate. In other words, it is connotatively racist, not denotatively racist. So to Christ is king may be anti-Semitic in connotation, while not in denotation. Blah, 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 blah. I'd like to say this as I introduce my guest. Shout out to the Christian community in the right-wing media for spending Palm Sunday and Easter week doing what Christians apparently seem to do best in the media apparatus, which is fight anti-Semitism and police other Christians to never ruffle feathers and make sure that you're all just pot smoking. Jesus is love, man. Not the Jesus sword dipped in blood coming back on a white horse, turning over tables inside of the temple, calling the other nations, you know, dogs and vermin, or coming to genocide entire nations. Forget about all that, you youthful slave. We got a show for you. And this brings up a giant discussion because I think we are winning. Someone else who's winning, who's gone viral recently, been on the show, one of my favorite people, actually, good friends, stand-up comic, Leonardo. Holy hell, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great. You know, I've been banned all over, and every time I get banned, dude, it kind of makes me feel good. I'm like, wow, you guys are that afraid of me? Go for it, you know? So this crisis king bullshit that these people are saying is anti-Semitic. It's like pretty soon believing in Jesus is going to be anti-Semitic. And the Christians are going to be like, well, when we say Jesus, you know, we really mean, you know, the same God that the Jews are worshiping.
Well, it actually is illegal in 35 states. 35 states and anti-BDS laws passed policy directly limiting how Christians can talk about the gospel. So literally denoting things like the Jews killed Jesus, things like that, are actually illegal, not just in Republican states, but also in Democrat states as well. Universally, this definition of anti-Semitism has been adopted and codified into law. This is common knowledge. People know this, but it's most vital to realize that it actually is a law in over half the states in America that you cannot accurately read the Bible because that could offend some people. How much do you care about offending people? Because I think you're really into that, right? You like that kind of stuff?
I don't care because I'm so tired of it. I lived my life up until a few years ago just watching what I said and even watching what I thought because I didn't want to think, you know, commit a thought crime, right? Think things that you weren't supposed to think, that think things that they told you were bad. And I'm the only thing I'm interested is in the truth. And if the truth happens to be racist, homophobic, anti-Semitic, then so fucking be it, because I'm tired of the bullshit, and I think everybody else is too.
Yeah, and we're going to give a little recap on where this all started, because guys, if you're wondering how is this relevant, you're saying I'm not a Christian, or I'm just kind of religious, or even you are a Christian. The reason why this is important is because this is about the destiny of our country, and the right wing is not weak because we are infighting. I want to repeat this. We are not weak because we are infighting. We are weak because gatekeepers in media have prevented us from having the discussions that would actually strengthen us. If the right wing actually got together, like some people have done in the past, found out who was really behind everything, who's really screwing up the mortgage rates, who's really destroying the currency, who's creating a culture where women have to work just to stay afloat so they can't raise their kids. If we have that discussion, they will silence you just like the Democrats will. And so they get you fighting about pronouns and bathrooms and things that really don't advance your society, your people, your faith. And instead, if you really wanted to know who's against Christians, who hates Christ, let's talk about the people today that are trying to silence the discussion on Christianity. And no, this is not a hateful episode. And no, we're not talking that all people of any group are objectively evil, except for women. No, I'm just kidding. But it's where we're going to go. So we're going to talk about this. Before we jump into that, I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor for today. And I got to tell you something really crazy. The dollar is in free fall collapse. It literally is losing its value every day, and you can't leave your money in the bank. If you have more than $5,000 saved up, and some of you guys do, listen to what I have to say. American Hartford Gold has a way that you can invest your retirement, your savings, your 401k, transfer it out of volatile stock bonds or different type of yield accounts that aren't returning enough profit into actual hard silver and gold. If you've been looking a way to secure your long-term investments, or to take money that you have and to transmute it literally into something that has stood the test of time, you've got to call my friends at American Hartford Gold at 855-699-8392. What they're going to do for you, they have hundreds of five-star ratings with the Better Business Bureau. They've helped and literally transferred billions of dollars in wealth between hands and helped to secure it into these ways that stand the test of time. If you're against these weird accounts that are run by these banks that manipulate your currency and you want to invest in gold and silver, which is something real and official, call them today or text offensive OFFENSIVE to 65532 for your free investor kit. What you can do right now is you can take what you have, transmit it into that, find out how you can secure it long-term. Plus, if you call now, you can get up to $5,000 of free silver when you transfer your investments and you find a way to keep your money out of the hands of banks that don't care about you and into something physical that can stand the test of inflation. Click the link in my description or call them today, 855-699-8392, or text the word offensive, OFFENSIVE, to 65532. Again, that's offensive to 65532. All right, Leonardo, although we talked about in the last show, I have a lot to say, and you've got a lot to say, and I'm not going to fall into their traps. This is why I think that the people don't want to talk about this stuff. They don't want to talk about it in the past because it's a trap. If you talk about this topic, then they want to say that you are a person of hate. Lucky for them, you and I are already people of hate. We're open about it, and we're proud. So there's... So you can't trap us. Am I wrong? I'm joking.
Well, the thing is, you're on the right track, because if you just own the words, it's like a shield. You're like, what they're trying to do is make you crumble under these words that used to have all this power. Like, the worst thing you could have been called in the 2000s as a white person is a racist. And now we're just like, okay, and what? Moving on. Will that negate my point of view? No, I'm not accepting that. Is it going to negate my willingness to speak up? No, I'm not accepting that. And the fact of the matter is, I'm not really hateful. Like, I have friends from all different kinds of ethnic groups and backgrounds, and I love them for who they are. You know, I don't categorize them like, oh, you belong to this group, so you're out of here. But I am not going to accept a narrative that tells me that I should be ashamed of myself because I'm white, that I should embrace the erasure of white culture and white people around the world, and that somehow this is good for us or better, or that there is no difference between a European and somebody who's from sub-Saharan West Africa. I'm sorry, but there are differences, and having a child with another European does not produce the exact same results as having a child with somebody else from a different culture. You are creating, it doesn't mean it's bad. You know, if somebody wants to have that, go for it. But if everybody did it, we would not have white people. And the fact of the matter is, what's so ironic, everything is so upside down, is that they push this thing where they're like, because we want to have diversity, we want to have diversity, we want to have diversity. But if you look at what happens when everybody breeds with everybody, you actually get less diversity because everybody just becomes some shade of brown and there really isn't any diversity.
Well, By the way, I had that conversation with someone last night. They were like, you're not for diversity? I said, yeah. Do you know the kind of, they try to use this argument with me. Do you know genetic diversity is important and it's really good for health? And I go, first of all, stop psyoping me with your midwit science. Second of all, let's also talk about what that means. It's called genetic deviation or genetic variation. It's about separation of frequency of alleles. This is having some sort of a genetic backup. Let's just call it like having a rifle and a handgun, right? The fact is sometimes genetic diversity is actually negative. Sometimes certain combinations of genes can literally wipe out blue eyes from a genetic pool. But also on top of that you don't, genetic diversity doesn't necessarily mean a black person marrying a white person. In fact, it doesn't mean that. What it means is you don't want to all descend from the same 350 people in one region. It means that, you know, like a Swede marrying an English person could be, that's massive genetic diversification, but also even just Brits marrying people outside of their family two steps is the genetic variation, which is why, sorry, British people, English people in particular, you look kind of like you're retarded, but that's also because you guys did too much intermarrying, but that doesn't mean that everyone did that. Although some of you might think your cousins are hot, fine Christ. I want to look at this clip. I want to look at this clip with you on what sort of started this, because I want to clarify two things. I have had Andrew Klavan on my show. I follow him on Twitter. He follows me. I have actually had him on the show twice, I think. I've done shows with his son, Spencer Klavan. I find them to both be incredibly excellent individuals at a personal level. I've been over Andrew Klavan's house, actually, in Hollywood Hills before I moved to Tennessee. I know these people well enough, right? I would say this puts the ground of like, I'm not ad hominem-ing. I don't want to attack these people. I don't agree with people who say that Andrew Klavan is a bad person or Spencer Klavan, you know, it's just like, oh, you're a gay Jew. I don't know why people are offended by being called what they are, but that's not my attack point. I don't work like that. I don't care if people do that. That's not my point. My point is I just want to clarify, if there's any reason why I would even point something out that a friend, of all things, someone that I know that I'm friendly with, if I would take the time to point out an inconsistency, it would probably be only two reasons. If it directly endangered somebody I loved, or it blasphemed God. Okay, I won't put my friends on blast, or even associates or anyone on blast ever, because I find it to be inappropriate and gossipy and bitchy, like women do and gays and stuff. I don't do that. So when I play this clip, it's because it dumbfounded me, and I respect him, and that's what makes it all the more powerful. Like, you know what I'm saying, Leonardo? Because I respect him and I think he's wise and intelligent and I don't think he's stupid. So I don't, when I play something like this, it's not like, let's listen to some black chick from the Bronx say something dumb about the Jews or Jesus. Like, oh, well, she's an idiot. This is a smart guy, well educated, well read, well produced, saying something so it has weight to it. Let's watch this. We watched on the last show, but this is where the argument comes in. It's crazy to me that we're even playing this, but listen.
You know, when I did this, by the way, the priest who baptized me said, you know, Christians won't accept you. You'll still be a Jew. And I said, well, I am. That's my race. I'm a Jew. I'm proud of my race. It's a great race. It's done many, many great things, including write the Bible. And, you know, I am a Jew. But that hasn't happened at all. Christians have welcomed me with open arms, except this Christ the King anti-Semitic crowd. Christ is the King. And one day every knee will bow and recognize it because he's not just my king, he's king of the universe. But when you use that phrase to mean that God has abandoned his chosen people, the Jews, through whom he came into this world incarnate, and that he's broken his promises, his covenant with the Jews, you are quoting scripture like Satan does in the Bible. You are quoting scripture to your purposes, and that to me is specifically wicked. You know, when you spit that phrase at Ben Shapiro, my friend Ben Shapiro, and you know, I understand this. All of you who love Ben, and I love Ben and Jordan Peterson, you all want to see them find Jesus because you know what joy and freedom that gives you, and you certainly feel that it alters your relationship with God. But when I think about this, to be honest with you, you know, and I know some people will disagree with this, but I... life is not a game show where you guess the name of God and you get to go to heaven. Honk, you know, yes, the name is Jesus. I look at Ben's life and I think if Ben were to embrace Jesus Christ, it would cause devastation to his family, to the people who love him, to the people who listen to him, to his position in the world. I just have this feeling that God has put this guy where he wants him to do what he wants him to do. And as you know, I feel that, you know, the Jews were not abandoned by God.
Okay. I just want to go to you, Leonardo. There was a lot to break down in there.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about it.
Yeah, go ahead. Just go ahead. I want to hear.
Okay. Number one, he starts off with being Jewish and then says he converted to Christianity. Like, which one is it, buddy? You can't have both, okay? Number two, if you were really a Christian, you would know that the Bible says, Jesus says, I came to bring the sword to set daughter against mother, son against father. And that is quoted as, when you become a Christian, you will literally go up even against your own family because of your belief in God. So this crap about it's not a game show, and he's sort of preaching universalism here and saying that if Ben Shapiro became Christian, it would destroy his family. You don't actually know that. He might have such a powerful effect where it's like, oh, really? I saw the light and I see what it is. That's one of the things. The last thing I'm going to say is this idea that the Jews are still God's chosen people. This is what you have in the evangelical Christian rhino community, the Republicans of old, who still want to hold on to this idea that somehow Jews are God's chosen people. And they're totally, completely contradicting the Bible, which says the Jews that were God's chosen people became Christian, followed Christ. That is the Israel. Christians are Israel. This whole thing that you're still trying to do with the Jews are God's chosen people, that was Old Testament stuff. So when you hang on to that, you deny Jesus's divinity and the fact that he came as the Messiah. So it's total trash.
Well, and I think what's weird too, as a black woman myself, I thought it was weird. I'm not even joking that, you know, this Candace isn't the first black chick to be thrown out. And that's why I tell people that the critical argument about God is paramount to even the argument about race. One of the reasons why there is replacement migration with white countries is similar to recent, I'm just gonna be careful with my words, but I would say non-Christian influencers of certain backgrounds and groups having a history, the Weinsteins being some of the other creators that are even my friends, so I don't want to drag them, taking pictures in front of the Arc de the Arc de Triomphe, even in France, flipping it off, basically, arches that celebrate the sacking of the temple. Now, what's funny is the Bible talks about Judaistic terrorism even back in the Bible, right? There was the Zealots. It talks about it in the old days. I mean, there's Barabbas, right? These are like literal like insurrectionist kind of individuals who were troublemakers in the Roman Empire. And even then, they couldn't even graft in Israel ever during the time of the Kingdom of Israel and Judah because they were so unruly and there was so much like terrorism and uprising and mobs that were going on. They never could actually appease them. Part of the literal crucifixion of Christ is because these people could not be ruled and they were afraid of another uprising, right? So they were trying to, Pilate was trying to bring peace to a very unruly people. But I find it to be interesting because what I find this argument to be, and this is why I find it to be important, is that certain groups in power in the United States want Christians to be weak. And there's this idea of you should never exercise or wield your faith like a sword, right? That saying Christ is king or, you know, using the Bible like a weapon is unchristian. And that to me comes from a false theology representing that Christianity is passive and it is somehow about courting love. That we're supposed to ignore the fact, like when people tell me like, you share racist stuff, how is that in line with Jesus? You go, well, Jesus is the Son of God, but he also is God, Trinitarianly speaking. So there were moments where God literally punished the king, Saul being one of them, for literally refusing to wipe out entire nations. And to this day, because of the refusal to wipe out Amalek, they still have problems. with the Amalekites down the road today. We still have Arab issues because of the Hittites, some of the other groups that even you go back even further, that they refused, that they had bashes within their offspring. So God literally was trying to prevent future problems by bringing judgment that seemed cruel. And when God ordered the judgment of people, he ordered the slaughter of every animal. And I think it's crucial when Saul came back, King Saul in the Old Testament, when he came back with the spoils of war, bringing back, I believe it was some of the women, I think he even brought the king back in one of them in captivity. It was like, well, we just captured them. And it mentions, I think this is crucial in the scripture, that they could hear the sound of baying or whatever from the sheep, meaning God even was like, you were supposed to kill the animals because this was supposed to be a civilization that was incongruent with who you are. And so it's ironic to me, since we do acknowledge the Old Testament, we do acknowledge the Torah, that they're like, well, don't you follow a God who just wants you to like just step aside and let Christianity be a religion of peace that just lets anyone step on it? It's like, you know, no, I follow the God of the New and the Old Testament. I do follow Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill the promise. He came to fulfill the law, but it doesn't say that he abolished it. He fulfilled it. And so that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a heart of judgment, of war. The Crusades are not unjust. They're not evil. And so what I don't like here is it's the same thing I don't like politically, and you could weigh in on this, is I don't like that the right wing is full of a bunch of converts who recently left the left. So we have these homosexuals and all these blacks and women and whores and different things that are like, you know, atheists, that are all these people that are like, well, I left the left because it rejected me. But they don't actually stand on anything. They don't have any values. They don't have any standards of ideology. They just aren't accepted somewhere, so they absorb in, and they get given jobs and money and influence. Why? Because they do the same thing that the Klavan's doing here, is gatekeeping out fundamentally real Christianity that could take power. And it's a power structure challenge that they don't like. And ultimately, what they don't want is God in power or anyone who's fighting for that. So, like, that's all I was going to say, is I don't like this, because, like, well, he's our friend. We wouldn't want to hurt him or take him out of power. Why not?
Yeah. Well, the thing you said about the people coming from the left, you know, it would be one thing if they had a true conversion, but their whole thing is like, oh, this has gone too far, so let's go over here. And it's like, no, you have to understand what the right's really about. The right is really about preserving the Western European ideals that created and funded this country. And like it or not, they were Western European. And I don't even classify as Western European. I'm Albanian. So, you know, we can recognize that we aren't necessarily the ones who were the foundings of this country, but we recognize how much better it is. So these people come over and then they still want to bring over their diversity, equity, and inclusion bullshit policies, which are behind. They don't. It's like when Californians move to Texas and they continue to vote Democrat. They admit that everything they had over there was bad, and they're like, let's continue with the same exact policies. And the other thing too is that, you know, you have to remember that the evangelical right has been infiltrated and subverted. And also, in my opinion, and this is my humble opinion, because, you know, I don't want to set these people apart from Christians, but my experience of evangelical criticism, Christianity, as limited as it is, in these mega churches, does not feel grounded in a true Christianity, and a Christianity of, like, where you are really wrestling with yourself and your own fallen nature and your own sin, which is what I understand Christianity to be. A lot of evangelical is this sort of outward looking and judgment of the world and judgment of people who they don't perceive as Christians. And if you go into Orthodox Christianity, that is not what it is. And so they've been really infiltrated. And actually, I don't remember the exact place, but maybe somebody online does remember this. But there was a version of the Bible that was edited and put out that puts something in there about specifically about supporting Israel. And that was the thing that has been used to whip up evangelical support for the nation of Israel. It is such a contradiction that you have, I think it's the show. Yeah. Somebody's saying it's the Schofield Bible. Thank you. Does anybody remember exactly what the phrase was? Cause I don't remember what it was, but it's oxymoronic that you have a group of Christians going, yeah, let's support Israel, the country of Israel, where if you actually like read the Bible and you read the predictions of Revelation, you are supporting the coming of the Antichrist, because the Jews say they're waiting for their Messiah. So they don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. So who are they actually? And they say their Messiah is the one who's going to rule all of the world from Israel. Well, if you cross-reference that with Christian predictions, the one that's coming to rule the world is the Antichrist.
Right. Well, and I don't disagree with that. I think that the Antichrist will be the Jewish Messiah. They would say that's anti-Semitic, but I believe ideologically, theologically, exegetically, whatever you want to say, if you look at scripture, the Antichrist will be the Messiah for the Jews. But
Can I interrupt you?
Go ahead.
Because this, I'm so tired of this bullshit that saying the Antichrist is anti-Semitic. Okay, well, guess what? You're anti-Christian. And why is that any better? Because a lot of this anti-Christian ideology, because the Jews want to always talk about how, anti-Semitism has fueled genocide of the Jews. Okay, anti-Christian has fueled a much more massive genocide of Christians, specifically European Christians. Go look up Holodomor, Russian Red Revolution. It is incessant. So the fact that these people are unwilling to defend their fellow Christians against this hatred of them based on their religion because they don't want to be called anti-Semitic, I have no patience for this.
Well, and yes, and I was talking to someone recently because I had wrote something, by the way. People, I will not delete tweets because I get messages from anyone else other than my family because either A, it's causing them harm or whatever. And sometimes I care more about family relationships than I do about looking right on the internet, which is this crazy thing that we forgot about, that it's more important. Sometimes love requires humility and remembering that your personal life behind the scenes is way more important than the perception of your life. People can call me a horrible person, say whatever they want. I have a great life, a great wife, a growing family, and I really do love living. But I said that Daily Wire and the people of Daily Wire were coming of the Antichrist. And the reason why I said that was because 1 John 2:22 says something important. Now, even if you are an atheist, you are still bound under the principles of Christianity because the very definition of our country was defined in the terms of open or free society, this liberalism, on the condition that they were a moral and religious people bound to Christian principles, Christianity, and a belief in God. There didn't have to be such outward stipulations of regulation because the ultimate authority of self-regulation and the authority of Jesus Christ was most important. A good example of that today would be what I just said. I don't walk around and delete tweets because a Jewish organization is calling me to delete them. I would delete something because a family member would call me and it's upsetting them and they want to have a discussion and they would like me to present myself, you know, more thoroughly or more articulate on the internet. They're talking about a society not where there's no regulation. You say whatever you want. You do whatever you want. You don't give a crap who it hurts. It's that you are self-regulated. You are concerned about God and your family and honor and respect. These types of things were what were to lead in God. Guide the country. But he does say in 1 John 2:22 that who is the liar? End quote. Who is the liar? He says directly, it is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. The Christ, a lot of people who are not maybe educated, is not Jesus's last name. He's not Jesus Christ, okay? He's Jesus the Christ. Whoever denies the Father and the Son, this is the Antichrist. And no one who denies the Son has the Father, but whoever confesses the Son has the Father as well. So when Clavin's saying something universal like, well, I don't think that you just find a name for God and you discover it and that makes God who it is. Correct, Clavin, that is correct. However, that wouldn't make sense then if God didn't have a name and didn't clearly define his name. He says what he is, who he is, I should say. And it says here, well, he's like, well, I don't think God abandoned the Jews. Okay, let's not argue that. Let's just say we'll accept your definition that Christians were grafted in, using biblical language, to the tree, that we're grafted, right? Like taking a branch. If people don't know what grafting is, when they're pruning trees, you can literally take an apple branch, maybe apply it to an orange tree, and you can literally grow an apple off of an orange tree. It's a different fruit, a different branch, but you can graft branches onto a tree. So even if you take his theological perspective accurately, that Christians are grafted in, the scripture says directly that if you deny the Son, you don't have the Father. So it's like this is crazy too, that I think that they're trying to take advantage of. And I mean this genuinely. I want to hear your perspective on this. I think that there's a huge push to take advantage of evangelicals who often are not rooted in tradition or in scripture, or are just getting modern interpretations of scripture, to completely accept that Judaism is Torah-based faith. So they want people to think that Judaism is the Old Testament. There was the 400 years of silence, right, at the end of the Minor Prophets. And then they just somehow don't care about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the only difference between Christianity and Judaism is our belief in Jesus. Not realizing that Talmudic Judaism is closer to witchcraft, in my opinion, New Age mysticism, you know, especially Kabbalah and different, you know, other things that these people believe, is more close to that than it genuinely is to the actual scripture. That's my personal belief. Some would say that's, you know, destructive, but I don't see these as my brothers and sisters who are just missing Christ. I see them as enemies of the cross of Christ, and they prove it time and time again that maybe they work with Christians, but they take advantage of them and keep them directly weak. And again, this is our Holy Week, by the way. This is Palm Sunday to Easter. The right-wing media has Christians defending or fighting anti-Semitism and trying to police who can say Christ is king. This is a universally terrible thing to be doing, and shows a mask-off moment to me that, like, these people do not care about your Holy Week. They should shut the hell up for, like, a week. Let us practice our faith and step away, and don't tell me what to do or to say. And if you want to call me a bad person, Leonard, I'll go to you on this right now. People say, well, Elijah, you use harsh words. You say mean things. I do. And guess what? If I've got to fight on the front lines, and what the front lines needs is hardened people, that's what you want, fighting on your front lines. You don't want little pussy-footed people fighting on the front lines who are afraid of stepping on people's feet and stuff. You need tough people who don't care about offending people, who will say what's true, and sometimes that comes with some baggage. Unfortunately, it doesn't make the baggage good, right, respectable, holy, or anything, but what it does mean is we each called to a certain purpose and calling. It says, live up to the calling to which you were called. It literally says that in scripture. I was called to the front lines of ideological, biological, and literal spiritual warfare. And if that comes with some baggage, I won't make excuses, but I won't stop fighting just because I have some issues. Leonardo, I don't know if you agree with that, but I know you have a lot to say on this too. And I know you're educated, and I know you're not stupid on this, and the chat knows that too.
Yeah, well, I agree with a lot of what you have to say there. I think here's an issue, okay? People don't really understand the history of Christianity and what's happened. What you have with the evangelicals is a bunch of little popes. It's a bunch of people who make up and decide what scripture means to them. And in order to really understand this, you'd have to go back to the original schism that happened. It was about 1000 AD between the Orthodox Christian Church and the Roman Church. At that point, you had a schism because the Pope wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he didn't want to be just one of the five bishops of Christianity that held the religion. He said, no, I want to be Christ's representative on earth. So yes, 1054. Thank you guys for the dates. And so at that point, the Pope split, okay? And so there's that first initial split. And then what happens after that is you have the Protestant Reformation. And the Protestant Reformation is just another mirror imagery of what happened with the original Pope splitting. It's somebody going, hey, I don't really, you know, it was Martin Luther, you know, posting his grievances with the church, which you could say were accurate or not. But again, it's this break with tradition, and I want to do things my way. And so then the Protestant Reformation basically opens the gateway for all of these splinters and factions to come from, where all of these people get to decide what the Bible means to them. And none of them are rooted in tradition or in giving over to the what the Orthodox believe, which is the Holy Spirit guiding the minds of the church fathers who have been in the practice of studying religion from the beginning. And so now what you've got is a whole, you just have the repercussions of that now with evangelicalness. You have all these independent thinkers, which aligns right with the American spirit of rugged individualism, and I will decide what's right for me, which is, you know, literally what leads us into trouble, because even the Bible says a heart's man will lead him, you know, to the self-destruction. Man's heart will lead him to self-destruction, right? Your heart doesn't necessarily know what's correct, because things that are wrong can appear good to you when you do not have spiritual discernment. And I have been a person who has done that in the past. under the same guidance where I thought, oh, okay, if my heart says it's true. Yeah, well, your heart can lead you to do a lot of bullshit because you can deceive yourself because you want to do something and then you find a philosophy that justifies it. So this is what we have currently with the evangelicals. They are creating their own narrative, and so they can be misled by having a bunch of Jewish people come in and be like, oh no, you should support the state of Israel. The other thing that people really fail to notice is that modern day Judaism has little resemblance to the ancient Hebrews of the Old Testament. The Orthodox Christianity, actually, if you go ahead and look at their practice, it resembles incredibly the practice of the Hebrews of the Old Testament. So what happened was when Christ came, that priestly class did follow Jesus and became Christians. The ones who did not follow Jesus were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the ones that Jesus was calling the synagogue of Satan. These people rejected Jesus. And in 70 AD, when the second temple was destroyed, they scattered to the wind. And Judaism was basically lost until around the third century, when it came up in reaction to Christianity. That is why the Talmud is so anti-Christian. In the Talmud, it says that Jesus is literally in hell in a vat of semen, of Satan's semen and horseshit. How do you compromise with people who say this about your God?
Well, because it's because of the control mechanism. And so this is what I mean here. And this is why it's really important to denote two things. It's important to denote the contradiction in arguments. People say this is a religion, not an ethnicity, and not a race of people. And if that were the case, then there should be no issue with criticism and disagreement, right? Because if it's a belief system that you are disagreeing with, then that would not have any reflection on your hate for the individual. It would have to do on the hate for the direction they've chosen to take their life or on their influence. But if you say that the criticism of the ideology or the religion that they have is a reflection of who they are, then you know there's some sort of ethnic connection, which there is. And with Caucasians, with white people, there is a connection, especially particularly in America, with Christianity that is an absolute truth. And what I think is crazy is that what you will find, and it proves this, that the right-wing media, I spoke to someone I love very deeply, who I am not trying to be critical of at all, because they do watch the show sometimes, but they said, why is it? They asked me a question, said, what do you have against Shapiro, against Boring? I said, well, ultimately, number one, they told my entire audience to get vaccinated and to ignore my advice during the pandemic. One of the most famous tweets from Shapiro ever directed at me and you guys watching the show, calling us idiots, dopes, for not getting vaccinated with the COVID vaccine. So because we're on YouTube, I'll say to the extent of, well, when you try to medically harm people that support me, that I rely on for my income, and you call us all idiots and try to, you know, undermine my credibility because your wife's a doctor, that's kind of personal. Then I was asked, well, why do you hold this against him? I go, well, behind the scenes, I have to be very careful here because of NDAs. Certain individuals had called my old CEO and or been at dinners, not with direct calls, and really tried to put into his head, why do you hire this person? Why do you work with this person? He's anti-Semitic. He's this. He's that. And they did the job of the left. I got more pushback from some of these individuals at other networks who would talk to my boss to undermine and get me fired. So they've tried to remove my ability to provide for my family. Not only that, there's things I can't even say, but they've come after me, my reputation. They've slandered me in the media. These people, besides this topic, have done things to me or tried to do things, I should say, that never materialized, that makes me realize they are reprehensible and disgusting individuals who have no respect for civil liberty, no respect for my family, no respect for me, and definitely no respect for my faith in God or my God directly, which should be tantamount to all else, should be the most important issue. So in saying that, if you want to know about the reflection of this direct issue, why did I call them out? And it's because of this one issue. I'm going to read this because this is really important that I read this from Jeremy Boring. Before I read that, I just want to give a huge shout out to one of our sponsors for today. Guys, real quickly, our sponsor for today, of course, is thepurgestore.com. They are selling products directly to help you with gut health and clearing out your gut. Some of you guys listen to this and you guys have actually purchased these products. A gut cleanse is really important because we have all types of invasive bacteria, invasive parasites, even in many cases, that can be eradicated through natural means. And you could go to the store and buy 20 different ingredients and you can clear your gut. A lot of you have done water cleanses, which you should do. You've done smoothie cleanses. You might have bloating. You have mood issues. These things are directed to your gut health. Now, one of you went through this whole program, did the gut cleanse, and it's not only changed your son's mood, it fixed his issues that you thought were IBS. A lot of times we're looking for ways to clean out our gut. Luckily, my friends at thepurgestore.com have created a product called Purge Suddenly, which is an advanced cleanse for your digestive tract. You can even get a colon 15-day cleanse and a digestive enzyme plus that helps increase your gut health. This is not a miracle cure-all. I'm not sitting around here telling you guys, hey, you know, people always hear products like this. It's like, I'm not saying it's going to increase your libido, fix your marriage, correct your finances. That's not over-promising things. What I can promise you is that this will help clear out your gut. It does work. Get ready, by the way. It works almost a little too well. So check it out at purgestore.com, P-U-R-G-E-S-T-O-R-E.com. Promo code Elijah. And by the way, this company also really supports the values of the show, supports the values of this conversation, supports the values of freedom of speech, and they want to support the show, and they want to support your gut health. Check it out today at purgestore.com. Promo code Elijah. It's great, and it works. Trust me. But I don't want to get into the details of it because no one's going to want to talk. Sometimes these things, these gut cleanses work at a point that you shouldn't share it with anybody because it is a very private thing and it's disgusting. So we'll leave it at that. You feel good, it's a disgusting product. Anyway, Leonardo's on. I want to go to this quote from Jeremy Boring. This is what I was going to say, my point about why I really have a problem with this conversation and why I would like to connect it to those of you that are atheists, those of you that are intellectually, you know, maybe you're just religious by proxy or you respect Christianity. I think that's a fair statement to just respect it. And maybe you don't believe in Jesus personally. Here's what it says here. Jeremy Boring says this about anti-Semitism and saying Christ is king. He said, when did this become anti-Semitic? AKA, when did this become so? It always has been so. It is so. Yes, innately. Additionally, saying Christ is king for an evil purpose, like using it as a weapon to express your hatred or disdain for the Jews, is a grave sin. It plainly violates the third commandment of thou shalt not carry forth the name of thy Lord, of the Lord thy God in vain. Surely, if I rape and murder someone like Hamas did on 10/7, here we go. Okay. Here we go. And all the while, I shout at them, Christ.
If you're going to just slip some propaganda in there, everything else you say is going to be just totally out.
Yeah. Also, the Bible says thou shalt not lie as well. So when you're pretending to care about an issue just to defend another country, you should probably be honest with your audience. And all the while, I shout at them, Christ is king or God is great. We should agree that I have committed three grievous crimes, not two. Rape, yes. Murder, yes. But also the great crime of implicating God in the first two crimes. So one must be cautious how one uses the name of God. God will not be mocked. Invoking him in the vain self-promotion or to troll Jews or to attack your political rivals is to carry forth his name in vain. We'll keep going. Here we go. Jesus Christ is king. Sure enough. I love, that's like the fact that we have to leave an addendum there. Jesus Christ is king. Yeah, I guess. King of heaven and earth, king of Jew and Gentile alike. Yet a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not smother. So don't use his name as a cudgel to bash those in whom the light of God yet flickers. If you do, you are a blasphemer and an anti-Semite, and why would you even need to add anything beyond blasphemer? Like, if you're a Christian, they're a blasphemer. It doesn't matter what else they are. And an anti-Semite and a piece of crap generally, and the fear of the Lord is clearly not in you. These are bold claims here, and it will be, though. So I'm going to go to
Leonardo.
You know
what's so interesting?
Yeah.
There's no commandment that says thou shalt not be an anti-Semite. So I don't understand why these people are up in arms. Okay. Number one. Number two, you know, they always want to present, they want to loop things in. I want to be really careful here. Any criticism of a Jewish person or Jewish policy or Israel has now been dubbed anti-Semitic, which I think is total bullshit. Okay. If you are a human being, you are open to criticism. You are fallible. If you do things that are wrong, I get to criticize you. I do not care what your background is. I will criticize Albanians who are doing stupid things for sure. Okay. So that's crap. Okay. Number one. Number two, the other thing they like to loop is if you are supposedly anti-Semitic, they also want to loop in that you are hateful. And I guess there is a bit of this that I've seen, but for the most part, I don't see a hatred and a vitriol. What I see is a hatred of the policies that are being put in place that are aimed at dismantling this Western European Christian country. And that is well-placed hatred. You should hate policies that want to make you a slave. You should be angry about that. They want to completely take that away so you have no motive to fight. And I think it's total bullshit.
Let me, yeah, and I this is exactly where I agree with you. And I want to go to there's this Candace Owens fan account called Standis Owens, who put up a video. And I want to see if I can find it here for a second. He put up a video from the Daily Wire, which, by the way, I want to say this. I really like Matt Walsh individually. I think he's really correct on a lot of issues. And he put up this post that was a flashback when Daily Wire contributor Matt Walsh suggests that Americans do not have a patriotic duty to support Israel. Ben Shapiro and CEO Jeremy Boring quickly interrupt him and shut down the conversation. Before I play this, this video is vital because this is the point that I wanted to ultimately make. Is when I was asked by the person that I love why I'm against, you know, Jeremy Boring and Ben Shapiro and these people, why am I against them? Am I like the left? Am I like BLM? Am I trying to destroy my side? I hear this all the time. It's infighting. That's a side note, by the way, that all the people that are saying Christ is King is anti-Semitic and talking about, you know, unity are all the pro-DeSantis people that literally infought and caused a civil war in our movement to get Trump elected. So shut up. I don't care. Don't virtue signal to me. I know who you are. I know you by name. I have receipts. Secondly, with this statement, I go, the reason why is I'm not against all hosts at Daily Wire. I'm not against Matt Walsh. I'm not against Michael Knowles. I've seen the criticisms. Why I said Daily Wire overall is because they exist to allow a certain level of conversation to be monetizable, aka to allow a standard of if you want to earn a lot of money or you want to be well known, you're going to work for Fox or Daily Wire or these things. And what they say you can talk about is what becomes universally accepted. And what they say you can't talk about not just becomes, you know, oh, they say go find another job. You mean go find another political economy that reflects your ideas to create a business under? That's not easy. That's not as easily done as said. Is that when we start talking about things like that we really want to solve, like who controls the Federal Reserve, how to get the people who control it out of our country, how to remove, when we say drain the swamp, who are the people that are the swamp? Which families are controlling the cash reserve? Who's controlling this? If we go down that road, we are labeled hateful and bigots by our own side. And they will join the ones that could defend us, that could help us have a voice to make a real right-wing movement, actually end up sabotaging us internally, which makes someone who claims to be a friend and yet undermines you internally behind your back and squashes your ability to gain influence is actually worse than your enemy, because there's at least respect for someone who hates you and tells you to your face, I hate you and I want you to eat shit and die, versus somebody who claims to love Christianity but wants Christians to be weak. Someone who claims to love the right-wing movement but, you know, doesn't want a real right-wing government to be established. Someone who says, yeah, Christ is King is true, but doesn't want people who really live that out to be in power in our government. That's why I'm against these people, because they are gatekeepers at best, but at worst, they are literal roadblocks to the formation of a coalition government of right-wing individuals, whether they are Christian or not, that believe in the Christian power principle foundations of European Union, and the fact, I don't mean the modern European Union, of our ability to actually overthrow governments which are held by strongholds like communists, etc., and to take back our country under Christianity, get rid of usury. These things are vital, and they do not care. They will have you fighting about porn in children's books in school, but it will not let you talk about who wrote those books. That's why I stand against them, because it's evil. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. I digress.
I mean, I agree with you. I think that a lot of the people, you know, they don't want to face this idea that, hey, we actually should have Christian leaders leading a Christian country. This is where I have complete disagreement with them when they say things like, oh, you know, diversity is our strength. I mean, we have Elon Omar leading a white Christian country. And then what, wondering, I mean, she's not leading the country, right? But she's leading, she's representing a white Christian municipality. And it's like, okay, this isn't acceptable. If I go to the middle of Afghanistan, I am not going to find a Scandinavian woman who's the governor of a town there. So why does that have to be okay with us? We've got a Muslim PM in the UK. We've got a Muslim mayor in Ireland. There are all these Western European countries that have elected people that are hostile to the native populations to lead them. But if we were to turn it around and say, oh, okay, well, let's do the same in the non-Western European countries, all of a sudden, we're a bunch of colonizers. And I say enough is enough. This is bullshit. Okay. And European, Western Europeans have to take responsibility for this bullshit too, because their fear of pretending to be like, of being afraid of being called racist or anti-Semitic, and their overly empathetic nature has gotten us into this mess. So we could sit here and blame the Jews all day, but all they're doing is hacking a weakness of ours, because Europeans are some of the most empathetic people, such that it extends beyond people that look like them to other cultures and other nations. And they do not understand that those other cultures and other nations don't feel the same way towards you. So they will exploit your empathy for their own gain. Oh, yes, yes, feel bad for me, feel bad for me. And all of a sudden, you know, you've lost control of your country to people who hate you because you were trying to be nice. Stop fucking being nice. Sorry, I don't sure because stop being nice. Stop being nice and actually start fighting for yourselves and your people, because nobody else is going to do it.
Right. I think this meme is absolutely important. It's all so tiresome. I'm going to play the clip for you because I want to show this, that this is the Matt Walsh clip where he's basically brought in and explains something, and he sees what is acceptable and unacceptable to bring up, and the true nature of these media outlets ends up becoming visible. And what I want to caveat this with is to say, the reason why this show stays on the air, the reason why we are still on YouTube, although we could be gone tomorrow for whatever reason, is because we are not hateful. We don't just rant and you know, get angry and use racial slurs, although that may be justified in some positions. What we do is we're talking about ideas and we're being honest. But I also know that there are consequences for being honest about ideas. So hopefully we're going to continue to label these shows and do titles and stuff that just keep the narcs off our back. However, watch this.
But at the same time, I think one thing, the people that you're talking about, one thing that annoys them is when they see, and I think, I don't remember who tweeted, someone tweeted something like, if you're an American patriot, it means you're pro-Israel or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. This idea that like it is your patriotic duty to have this particular feeling about another country, no matter what the other country is, I don't care what country it is. So that goes too far on that side of it. And I think they're kind of reacting, it's kind of what you're saying.
Yep.
They're reacting to that.
I think there is something patriotic about supporting our allies, because we form alliances because it's in our national interest to form alliances. And having formed those alliances, and if we're all operating in a kind of good faith where those alliances are concerned, then there is a kind of patriotic.
Yeah, but you don't have a patriotic duty to support any country that is not your own.
Well, it's, I will say that I think that what that statement is missing is the phrase at the end, right now. Okay, so I don't think that you have a patriotic duty to eternally support any other country, because circumstances change. The country, I mean, how many times have we seen alliances change and people end up on the other side of those alliances? But the idea that in a conflict between a democratic ally and an actual terror group, mm-hmm. that it doesn't connect to any sort of, we're not talking about nationalism now, which is just attachment to country. We're talking about patriotism, which goes to underlying principle, that you have no duty at all to support a fellow democracy that is an ally in its own battle for survival. That seems to me to raise some patriotism principles in the same way that would raise patriotism principles to say that if Hitler were about to overrun Britain, people who are saying, well, you know what, it doesn't implicate the United States at all or patriotism at all to watch Hitler overrun Britain. And it seems like it kind of implicates patriotism.
Leonardo, I'm going right to you on this. Did you see what I saw, the butting in?
Yeah, I mean, he's just he wants to make sure that we never stop supporting Israel. Don't ever stop supporting Israel. Oh, you're getting a little too close to the fire. Okay, why don't you go look at what the founding fathers said about getting involved in foreign affairs? They said, don't do it under any circumstances. It has nothing to do with us. They said that across the board. Okay, let's go look at where we're sending most of our money and when this started happening. Israel is the top recipient of U.S. foreign aid, top. Okay, and they maneuvered their way up there through AIPAC and other Jewish lobbies. Nobody wants to talk about this. So you're taking money out of the pockets of Americans, which last time I looked around, it's not like Americans all have this excess money that's just easy to give away. And you're giving it to literally everybody else except Americans. And frankly, I'm sick and tired of it, and it's total bullshit. Because number one, taxation is theft, and it's unconstitutional. It is in the Constitution that no man should be taxed on their income, okay? They created a unconstitutional law in 1913 when they created the Federal Reserve Bank, and then at the same time, they created income tax to fund their little scheme there. So that's a problem. And then the second thing is, if you are going to tax it, at least turn that money back around and help the very people who are paying the money. This is one of the things that I experienced in New York, for example. When I was in New York City, okay, I had to pay like crazy level of taxes. And then I remember when the whole Obamacare thing started and they were like, oh, okay, yeah, everybody's going to have healthcare. I went to apply for healthcare, which the taxes were the funding for that was being taken out of my money in taxes. And they go, sorry, you don't qualify. You make too much money. So excuse me, I'm paying the money for this thing called healthcare, universal healthcare, yet I am not entitled to it because I make too much money. That's total and utter bullshit.
Well, I want to talk about a little bit of this further with you about basically Candace's firing and the people she was up against. We're talking about Rabbi Shmuley, who's going to be in a debate with Alex Jones. However, I happen to think that this may be a little too spicy for YouTube. It's good to know that our YouTube audience is coming back after they hit our channel recently and deleted a ton of our videos, and then the views just like halved. It was really sad. They deleted a ton of videos and they hit us, but I think over time people start to find us again and go, oh yeah, wait, they aren't deleted, they're just not showing up anymore. So I'm happy you guys are coming back, but the rest of the show we're doing on Rumble directly. So if you guys are in YouTube, I'm going to go ahead and put the link to Rumble. What you're going to do is you're going to go to, let me go here. You're going to go to rumble.com/slightlyoffensive. I can make this a little bit bigger. You can join this chat. It's a lot less filtered. I don't censor it unless there's something illegal that's said. And then for the most part, or maybe blasphemous, I don't really know. But you're going to join the chat here. So if you go here, we're going to talk about Rabbi Shmuley, this craziness that's going on. And the fact is that we think these people have lost the war. But most importantly, never forget to be doing everything in love. You'll never hear in any of this conversation a vitriolic statement or hatred for anybody, but yet a defense for Christ. We said, be prepared to give a defense. That means also physical as well. Sometimes you might have to defend your family from things that are going out because people will attack you for your faith. And the problem with this stuff that I want to remind you, there will be a day coming, like Jesus said, you know, where you may need a sword, right? These things happen. However, don't forget to be praying always for those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for them. Have grace. And remember that sometimes, ultimately, are you preaching the gospel? Christ is king, but also we want to have him, there to be people who are serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so you have to ask, are you serving him? I'm working on that with my own life. I'm very far from perfect, but I want you to remember the importance of that as we get into a very dark age. Anyway, I'll see you in about 2.5 minutes with Leonardo. We're going back up. We're talking about Shmuley. We'll take a quick break and we'll see you over at rumble.com/slightlyoffensive. And don't forget, support this show as we're demonetized everywhere at censored.tv, promo code offensive. That's censored.tv, promo code OFFENSIVE for 20% off a membership. Thank you so much to censored.tv for supporting the show and to everyone at Locals. You can also send super chats only at Rumble since we're demonetized at YouTube. To the rest of you guys watching this, have a great rest of the week. And everyone says Rumble sucks, but YouTube is gay. Yeah, sometimes I'd prefer a place that sucks over a place that's literally gay and won't let certain conversations happen. We'll see you over there in just a moment. Enjoy your 2 minutes, go pee, and we'll keep going on Rabbi Shmuley, the craziest looking person, insanity. We'll see you there. All right, Rabbi Shmuley, I don't know. Can't think of a better name. Celebrated Candace Owens getting fired. And I just want to remind you, it's pretty reprehensible. I'm not going to show you the videos of him pinching a girl's nipple, a little girl's nipple, a child's nipple, or like doing a lap dance for a young boy, which also happened in his celebration. Because to be completely honest, I don't even know the context of that stuff. Like, I don't know if he accidentally like just went to pinch the little girl. And I have no idea if he was drunk and missed grabbing her shoulder. And I also, like, I don't know if people are saying it's a lap dance. I don't know if that's, like, his kid and he's just being silly and, like, shaking his butt or, like, just being weird. I have no idea. So I don't want to get accusatory there. I think people take things too far. I have no idea. Would I do that? No. But I literally don't know the context of those videos. He was really hammered and drunk. And I think we got to be careful. Like, Carolyn Borisenko even said, who we've disagreed before, but she's very intelligent, said, like, you know, when we overuse terms and just accuse someone of being a pedophile or whatever, and we don't have actual proof or we don't know or we take things out of context. Again, people are going to hate me for that take, but I don't think you need to try to make claims he's a pedophile or anything. Dude, people were going so far, Leonardo, that they were like, even like one of his kids was like in a panda costume and everyone's like, panda's a sign for, it's a sign. Look, I don't, I'm just saying, you can believe all this stuff. To the people watching, I don't care if you believe this stuff. Go ahead and believe it. I don't harp on things on the show that I can't prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. Do you think that's fair, Leonardo? Like, I don't touch things that I can't prove.
I agree. I also think it's like you're looking into stuff like that, you know, sometimes. Like, also, you know, this is a joke. So before everybody gets all twisted, they only molest Christian children. So, you know, let's relax. Yeah, but I mean, just like his little his like sadistic glory dance, like that should make everybody like utterly upset. Because here's the thing: as soon as they get the same thing fired back at them, they're like crying about what a victim they are. Oh, what happened to me? You're the one who started it.
Yeah, and can we watch this? This is one of the craziest videos. This was his victory lap dance over Candace Owens. Crazy stuff. Watch.
Hi, everybody. Purim is a day of celebration. We feel bad for Candace Owens that she lost her job. So I figure with her image of what Jews are supposed to look like, why not at least validate her? I am dressed up as a Candace Owens Jew. Now, this is not a Christian child. This is a Jewish child. But if it would be, I got my Christian blood. Spicy, delicious. I got my Jewish nose. I have filth because Jews are all filth. And more than anything else, what does Andy have?
Money!
Wait, I'm getting a little bit thirsty. Where's the matzah? I don't want to finish the whole thing and not mix it into the matzah. So can someone just bring me? She did say, one second, she did say that I was getting, she liked that tweet that I'm getting drunk on Christian blood. So let's do it the right. Oh, so good. So good. Benafuhu, Purim is a day that our enemies fall, my brothers and sisters. This is the way they want us to look. I'll do it for one night. I'll indulge them. If it floats their boat, why
horns?
Not?
Where's
oh, my
horns?
Horn.
You covered, forgot your horns.
They're covered by my yarmulke. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just despicable. It's so disgusting. Also, you want to act like that? Those things are totally off base. Who's Simon of Trent?
Exactly.
Nobody wants to talk about how the ADL was formed.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like I want to be like accurate with this stuff. I just want to say that like just because you make light of a situation or joke about it doesn't mean it's not true, right? Like every people call me Elijah at one point. Is it possibly? Is there Jewish line genetics in my line? Who knows?
I can see your translucent skin. Yeah, you've got a
correct. I used to call myself a black gay woman, and I'm not actually black or a woman. So like that's the funny part. But I mean this genuinely though. I mean jokes aside, just mocking what someone's saying and exaggerating it doesn't mean that it's not true, and it doesn't mean Candace Owens was wrong. And I just look at this, and I was going to say, I want to get your take on this. If Patrick Bet-David waited on it, okay? If you don't know who PBD is, you should find out. He's a great show host. He's like, there's nothing funny about this video, regardless of the dispute. This is strange behavior by a grown man. There's nothing wrong with debating differences, but this behavior is a bad reflection of any community. I think that's what we're all saying, Leonardo, like, hey, you guys should police your own community a little better, because if this is not true, if the racial stereotypes are false, if the things people are saying are actually anti-Semitic, why is it every single time? That's all I'm saying. Then figure it out, because whoever it is you have representing you, it's like the black community, right? We don't commit crime. Black cities are great. Black women are queens. We're amazing. Okay, but why is it then when all y'all get together in a neighborhood, it sucks? Show me a good example. Where's Wakanda? Where's Wakanda?
Yeah, well, they don't ever want to deal with the facts of the case. They'd rather live in abstractions and false narratives that can make them feel self-righteous and have perpetual victimhood. You know, this thing where victimhood has become the sought-after crown is insane to me, because when you are a victim, you have no power to change anything in your life. So it's fool's gold. You know, it feels good. Sure. It feels good to pity yourself and think that it's everybody else's fault, but you won't actually have the agency to do anything. You know, I think it was that guy, Mark Ronson, who wrote the book. He wrote a book, and in the book, he said, with great responsibility comes great power. So he actually flipped the Spider-Man quote. And I just thought that was so fantastic, because it's true. If you are not responsible for the circumstances in your life, then you do not have any power to change them. And of course, you're going to feel resentful and angry, because you constantly feel like the power to change your life is in somebody else's hands. And I will say that across the board, that is not true. And even for white people who are sort of getting into like a victim mentality themselves, oh, this is what, you know, the Jews are doing and all this stuff. No. The responsibility falls upon your own shoulders, your own unwillingness to take a stand when you know something is wrong and false. So, and then this whole thing with Shmuley, I mean, it's just in bad taste to celebrate your quote unquote enemy, you know, losing like that. That's just disgusting, number one. And then number two, it's a celebration of the censorship of free speech, which should let you know these people are not about free speech. That's why they're passing these anti-Semitism laws. Everything they're doing is completely contradictory to our Constitution.
Well, but I really do appreciate like these kind of quotes, like tweet more videos, Rabbi. And so I think like that's so good. And I think that's where you get
Look at the ratio there. Look at the ratio, 1.8K likes, 8,000 comments. That's never
9 million.
Never a good ratio.
I said, oh, look, I said, you can I got more likes than him. You can still delete this.
Look at Ian like, Carroll.
I love Ian. You realize the internet is forever, right, man? It's like, hey, that's pretty crazy. Now, just to let you know, this guy's actually connected like RFK Jr. and a few other individuals. Like, he's not a random guy. And I'm not making this like the, you know, anti-rabbi show. I just think, if you can do something like this and put rabbi in front of your name, I am this close to changing my name to Rabbi Elijah.
I don't know how we'd say it. You have rabbis who there's a rabbi who owns Pornhub. So what does that mean? I mean, that is just absolutely bonkers to me. If your high priest can be affiliated with such filth, maybe you need to really take a look at your religion.
It's crazy too. With talking about this stuff is like, when I spoke to that person that I appreciated, I had put up this post, and I have to be very clear on it. It is pretty crazy. This guy, James Lindsay, I know James Lindsay, by the way. He is an atheist. He is a thought leader in the right-wing movement. Are you familiar with James?
I am familiar with him. I like some of the things he says. I think some of the things he says on Christianity are misguided.
Or just flat out retarded. Like, it's like you're being too nice. It's like flat out retarded. And I don't know sometimes if he's trolling or being serious, like, because he wore like the shirt said like American masculinity when he went on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he's got a gut and was look, he's a nerd, right? But he's nice. I gotta tell you this too, James Lindsay's really nice. I think I've spoken on a stage with him. I think I have. I don't know, but I think I have. That shows you I have no idea what I've done in my life. However, he's like, all these Christian anti-Semites need to repent. Forgiveness is available to all who repent and turn away from hatred and evil. And I just reminded him that the Bible says
I feel like that's sarcastic. I feel like that's sarcastic.
That's what I'm saying. But if you read more of his posts, it comes off real because he's like really concerned about anti-Semitism. And I
is
like
he
when
really
I say
concerned about anti-Semitism.
Oh yeah, yes. And I can't say why on the phone. I mean, on the internet. No, okay. I can't say why. But if you would understand who promotes his books, who might be funding his think tank.
Okay, got it. Got it.
You will just connect the dots. Okay.
Okay.
On things. Yeah. But because some of the claims are from reputable people, but I've never been able to individually verify them, all of them, I'm going to leave it as conjecture, but it's a consistent narrative of defending and attacking people, certain people and attacking certain people. And I like when I said, hate what is evil, Romans 12:9b. Everyone's like, you took that out of context. Everyone just says to seek love above all else, hate what is evil. And I guess people have never been to seminary or don't understand exegetical referencing, but literally putting the B next to the 9 denotes that I just quoted a clause from a bigger verse. If you don't know this, by the way, it depends where you were trained, but you can denote that you've taken something literally out of context, meaning like you're just focusing for educational reasons or for purpose, a clause of a bigger purpose or a bigger verse by taking clause A, clause B, clause C, clause D from a verse. So everyone mad at me for that. That's what that means. And I guess people just haven't been trained in quoting scripture. And that's totally fine and not weird because most people probably haven't. But I also thought it was funny too, because I quoted this. I was like, I'm not tweeting anymore today or I'm going to cause problems for my life. Did you? Posted this. With what someone had a problem with, it was Ben Shapiro from 10 years ago saying, Elisha Krauss wins with this comment on Jesus, hands up, don't shoot pose. It should be hands up, don't nail. And I'm just like, I've had enough. Oh, there you are. You're like, welcome to the inner circle. I liked it. Few people make it to this level and live to tell about it. So good. But okay. This would make sense if, by the way, Ben Shapiro wasn't also like 4 years ago. Okay. I want to explain this. He asked me, he was like, my friend asked me just like, is this right? Bringing up something from 10 years ago that he said, I go, well, to be clarified, if you bring up something that I said 10 years ago, I was 20. So I have the excuse to say I was like a fucking retard. And I would just say that Ben Shapiro was like my age when he wrote this about, right. With like probably with kids and stuff. So this is a little different. And I think he was running Daily Wire at the time. So it's fair game. But also in the last few years, he's made fun of Jesus again. He's
right. Changed course or anything.
Yeah. Two other times when The Passion was released in 2016 and in 2020, mocking the second Passion. I think it was like, he's like, what are we going to call it? The Passion of the Christ 2, Jesus Crossed Again. And it's like, dude, the guy has multiple references. We know that they don't like Jesus. I'm not saying anything.
The idea that this is the thing that gets me, okay? It's not that they don't like him or they don't believe, right? They hate him with a passion. That's actually the thing that got me to look into Christianity. Was I was like, wait a second. If all of these people, like Hillary Clinton and these people that run the country who I believe are evil, hate Jesus, I'm going to go check that out because these people are evil. So if they hate him, they don't hate him because he's not real. That doesn't make sense. So this idea, that's why I don't get when people are like, oh, we're going to have a Judeo-Christian values. That's a contradiction. You cannot have Judeo-Christian values. The Judaism that you're referring to of the Old Testament is not the modern rabbinical Jews. Sorry, it's not. They hate Christians.
Well, and also someone said they should call me Rabiga Schaeferstein, which I think would be fantastic. But I do like the idea of Rabbi Eli instead of Rabbi. I'm just Rabbi Eli because people do call me Eli. But I like someone's like Rabbi E calling everyone really nice, even though they are complete twat, is reminiscent of boomer speech. It's called being tasteful in your criticisms, by the way. And you'll learn this with communicating. Oftentimes, if you're going to criticize someone, specifically as an American, you preclude that speech with some sort of a compliment or clarification on your means, because Americans are not hypercritical people, and we typically criticize tastefully. I believe that, and I know that because I traveled the world. I'm currently in another country right now, and people don't criticize the same. You go to Asian countries, they'll just call you fat, but in America, we typically, if we're going to fire someone, we thank them for their good work, and then we fire them, right? That's how it works. Yeah. We're like, thank you, you've done such a good job here, but you suck at your job, so goodbye. That's just very American. So let me bring this up here with this conversation. Oh, see, this is all crazy stuff. I don't want to go on this. I guess this is a nice little Purim joke to lighten the mood. Here you go. So, Ramilio, this is a little joke. You'll enjoy this. A rabbi, a butt plug salesman, and a man who grinds on little children all walk into a bar at the same time. The bartender looks over and says, "What are you drinking from Purim? What are you drinking for Purim, Mr. Shmuley?" I don't know. That's dumb, but I give up. I give up. It's stupid. We were going to get into the P. Diddy stuff. I don't want to get into the P. Diddy stuff. I want to read your super chats. I want to get into you guys so you guys know whether you're on Censored watching. Shout out to you guys, Cocktail Aaron. I hate reading these ones. Records Department. Shout out on the locals chat, directly top Jimmy. Fee 80, Butthead, Real Dandy Andy, Debstup, all the regulars are there. And those who are currently here on, our members, by the way, Dat Rage and Cajun, individuals who are here, Forever 02, Mike Zion, all the people. Shout out for watching. I want to read some of your super chats so you can send them Rumble Rants. Apparently, if you update your app on the iPhone, you can now send Rumble Rants from your iPhone and Android. So a lot of you guys don't have that feature, but you can. All right, let me read a couple of these and we'll see what we can say. And also, sincerely, I try not to curse, but fuck you guys for sending super chats that are horrible. But I'll read them because it's super chats. Why not read them? But you guys, I just always have to say this on behalf of the network and things. I never sponsor what's in the super chats. And by the way, you guys have made me literally lose a show in my life and like a huge portion of my life, which I've recovered from completely, but over your super chats, which were mentioned in a public lawsuit, by the way. Your super chats were mentioned in a public lawsuit of causing people mental health issues. Like, I've worked with people that you guys caused mental health issues based off your
super
chats.
They were weak then, Elijah. If you're gonna get a mental health issue because of what some random internet troll says, you really should. It's more of like they probably just brought it to the surface, okay?
You said it, not me. I'm the one with the NDAs here. I'm the one with the NDAs. Everyone I've worked with is amazing. They're all amazing. They're not fucking psychotic. And they're not insane. I love them all. I love Israel. I was kidding. Okay, but let me go to this real fast.
I say Jake, this and watch it be something about me and I'll break down.
JQ Public said, "No compromise. To save the Jews, you must give them truth." Deus hoc vult. Excellent. Dulon Tired says, "The future is Catholic." Are you Catholic? Are you Protestant or Orthodox? Or what are you?
I converted to Orthodoxy last Pascha, last Easter. That's Orthodox Easter. After 2 years of going to an Orthodox church and going through the Christian re-education.
Has it been helpful to you? Has converting to Orthodox been helpful to you in your journey?
Tremendously. Sure.
How so?
Yeah, tremendously. Well, I changed the way I lived my life. I changed my belief system. I mean, number one, when I walked into an Orthodox church, I had a mystical experience of God. Like, I felt the presence of God. I multiple times felt like I was brought to tears. And by the service, I mean, it's you get transported to another world. And I had been on the search, I left, I was raised a Muslim Albanian, and I left at 16 when I uncovered that, in fact, Albanians were forced to convert to Islam after a long and brutal battle against the Ottoman Empire. And when I found that out, I said, well, I'm not going to do this because, this was forced upon my ancestors, and this is not something that we ever wanted, and I never really connected with this. And so then I spent basically from 16 until 3 years ago just searching for something and going in and out of different things. I mean, I went through almost every possible permutation of spirituality, and I never felt like this was real. I mean, I even explored like Eastern mysticism and, New Age stuff and chanting and everything, and just really trying to like give myself over to this thing. And I never felt anything. And it was like the first day I walked into an Orthodox church, it just was humbled. I just was like, I don't understand anything, but I feel something. And that's all I can really do. And so the way that it changed my life is it changed my behavior. It changes the way I think about things. It changes the thoughts I engage in. I don't know if I want to get too personal around that, but because I will say this. So here's an example. Last year I was involved with somebody who was presenting themselves as a person that they were not, and had totally constructed a totally false identity. And so something about it didn't feel right. And I one day just was super humble because I had kind of stepped away from my church because I was, you know, seeing this person. And I just said a heartfelt, humble prayer. I said, you know, God, I actually really do not know. It was not a tranny. Okay, everybody relax. It was a normal heterosexual guy. But I said a prayer and I said, I think that you don't want this for me, but I'm not sure. And I've been keeping it from you because I didn't want you to take it from me. But I want you to tell me and I want you to make it loud and clear so that I can't ignore it. Less than 2 hours later, this person accidentally butt dialed me and left a voicemail that was completely revelatory of this whole other character that I didn't know about. And I just was, first of all, it was heartbreaking. It was a torment, torture I had to go through, but it led me to greater recovery of some past trauma because it exposed a wound that I had had. That is what got me into that situation in the first place. But it was just unbelievable that I got that. Like, I mean, you can't make this up. It's 2 hours later, I get a crystal clear, lightning clear message. And I just knew that God was there and he had answered my prayer, you know? And then, you know, it was hard to leave. And so for like a week, I was going back and forth. Maybe his explanation is true or whatever. So I started to say another prayer to ask for another sign. And I kind of heard a voice that almost had like a sense of humor that was like, you don't need another sign. And I was like, and it was almost like, why would I send you another sign? You're not even listening to the one I gave you. And I said, you know what? You're right. I don't need another sign. What I need is the strength and the courage to do what's right. And then it was almost like immediately this book said, I heard this voice go, well, you keep thinking he's a sociopath. So why don't you like maybe read about sociopaths? And I Googled it. And the first book that came up, I read it. And that's what showed me a wound that I had had that was attracting me to this kind of person. And there was like just tremendous healing from that. And because of that relationship, it just deepens my faith and my sense of purpose. And the idea that, you know, I think a lot of us are lost in sort of this materialistic pursuit. You know, we don't know what to pursue. You know, one place is saying pursue money. Another place is saying pursue fame. Another thing is for saying pursue, you know, even like having a family and having kids, all of this stuff that they're telling you to pursue that's going to save you. And ultimately, like what we're trying to be saved by is death. We're trying to be saved from death. And there's only one thing that does that. And so these are all false roads. And so that gives you, that's when you realize you can pull back from these things, because until you have something to go towards, it's not enough to just pull back from materialism or the pursuit of fame and all this stuff. And so that's kind of what kind of gives me the burn it all down attitude, where it's like, hey, if you keep going down this road, you know, I got banned from Rogan's club, I'm getting banned from another club, like getting censored or whatever. It's like, I'm not here for the pursuit of wealth and riches and people to worship me. I actually find that absolutely utterly abhorrent. I'm here to tell the truth and set people free.
Well, and I agree with you on that. I think that's why I'm attracted to it. And by the way, I want to make an apology to the SOBs watching this, slightly offensive backers. I had recently like mistakenly said like I had a problem with Protestantism, and it's not as much as Protestantism and reforms that were made. It was more more evangelicism, like the idea of being an evangelical and sort of separating yourself from the past entirely, because there is a huge difference between like Martin Luther Protestantism and some of like the ELCA, you know, Lutheranism we see today, or Calvary Chapel, and these things that are just like Zionist dispensationalists. Like there is a difference, and just like, you know, there is just a difference. I want to make that note, and I love hearing that. And I want to say this is why Scott Starbird said on a Super Rumble rant, I think they're called, Jesus brought a new and everlasting covenant, meaning all human beings are God's chosen ones and able to go to heaven. And that's I don't know. Angels Soul Me said, thank you, Elijah, for standing up for our King, the Lord and Savior Jesus. I don't know if we had gotten any more while I was on. I don't think we got any more there. We have a few here in our locals chat, as you guys can send super chats. Alex Lindquist said, Leonardo liked my post the other day. Felt pretty special, not going to lie. well, do you have any words for Alex Lindquist?
I don't remember what it was. I've been I've been almost fucking schizophrenic on Twitter right now. So apologize for that.
Yeah. Also, Doolin Tired said Protestants are just uptight Catholics. Top Jimmy 68 said, are people like Steve Dace, Gavin, and Crowder really not noticing, or are they just cowards? I know the whole they have families and you understand stuff, but us regular blue-collar folks count on people with platforms to be someone we can point to and say, see, they know too. I'll let you cover this. I'll just speak on behalf of several of these people after Leonardo, because I know all these people personally. I've created content with these people. This show is on a platform that some of these people work. People that don't talk about this stuff, are they cowards, or do they really believe what they're saying about Zionism and these things? Are they afraid of being seen as an anti-Semite? Is it the money? What do you think it is?
I think a couple of things. I don't know specifically about the people that they're mentioning specifically because I haven't been following them, but there's a lot of things. Number one, a lot of people are in denial about it. And they don't want to look, because if there's only two things that can happen if you look. Number one, you find out that what your belief system was originally is correct anyway, so then why would you look? You wasted time. Or number two, you find out that what you believed was incorrect, and now you've got to deal with all the repercussions of that, and nobody wants to go that route. And that's really why I think people don't look. I think that's why leftists don't explore whether their ideologies are wrong, whether the race crime statistics would actually dismantle their belief system, because then they'd have to be, their whole life is set up on a lie, and they'd have to dismantle it, and people don't like it. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to be willing to even look for the truth, because what it might show you might be devastating to your life. Okay. The other thing is, I think that some of them might know and they're picking their battles, because you have to understand that people are fighting on different levels, and they may not be at liberty to fight that war, right? Because of the repercussions of it. And then some of them might just be afraid and not want to deal with the consequences of saying what they might say. And that's true too. And that, you know, the running theme throughout is a level of cowardice, for sure, to not be willing to look at the truth. And we have to call it what it is. It doesn't mean that I condemn these people or think they're like, you know, evil or don't have anything good to offer. I often say we kind of got to accept people where they're at and what level they're willing to fight on.
Right.
As long as they're not causing harm and damage, you know?
Right. I think there's a big difference between what we're talking about. Like this, I think you brought up a few good things. Like, let me a couple good pieces of news here. I thought this was really cool. The Quartering, who's a YouTuber, had said, all this cringe drama has pushed me over the edge. That's it. Going to church next week. Christ is King. And I just had put a nice note here to him. Awesome to hear, Jeremy. We all have a breaking point with this wild world that reminds us to focus on what is most important once again. Really encouraging to read this, and may God bless you on your journey. And that's really important there. As I know that, you know, obviously, this individual has, you know, said some really terrible and mean things about me or to me publicly. And I've never said anything, you know, mean to him that I know of ever. I'll continue to reach out to him because I know his father passed away. I sent him some encouragements, and I want to continue to encourage people, because you never know what people are going through. You never know what's going on in their life. And that's a really important point to me. It's like, you don't actually know when people are attacking you or they're saying rude things or whatever. Look, they might just need the Lord. They might need peace. They could have turmoil. And so, you know, I want, as a community, make sure you're praying for people like the Quartering. Make sure you're encouraging them. Because I think it's really cool to see people, you know, just like want to turn to God. I think that's like the greatest thing. And I think that's one of the most important aspects about this question, is a lot of people are just moving in the zeitgeist of things. And I think you think a lot more of it is coordinated and money and psyops and this, when really, like Leonardo said, I think people are just stuck in their ways. And I think it's like very easy. Like here's a good example. I like Gavin a lot. I don't think Gavin's cucked at all. I think Gavin just has a different worldview on this. And you have to accept that some people just will believe differently about a topic. Like, yeah. You know, to one person, Christ being the King of America is an incredibly great gift, and it comes across positive. But to James Lindsay, it's the end of liberalism and atheism, and it's the worst extremism that can happen. And is he wrong or right? That's subjectivism. That's just like the idea that his view on something is different than yours. Does it mean there's an objective answer that Christ being king is better than not? Yes, but I think sometimes with these questions, you think people are cucks and taking money, but like Gavin's a good example. He's from New York. It's a lot of Jews in New York. I'm from LA. He's got a lot. He probably knows a ton of great Jewish people. He's probably worked with incredible Jewish people and Vice. So his perspective may not be that he spends all his time on TikTok and Twitter and studying conspiracies, and he may not give a shit. He's a culture icon. He's a punk rocker. So you're thinking, ah, he's a cuck. And it's like, that's not his perspective. And that's not his idea. So he's just sticking true. And he'll even admit that there are this group of Jews that suck, that are controlling a lot of things. So he's not cuck. Other people, Dace, he's an evangelical, like staunch, typical Zionist evangelical who thinks that to believe in God requires you to support Israel. So when you question his support for Israel, you're questioning his actual faith. His actual theology requires him to support Israel. So that's not cucking. That's theology. And with Crowder, Crowder's an old friend. I don't know what happened. I don't know why they don't work with me anymore. I know that his co-host, the old guy, I don't know what his name is, talked a lot of shit to me on the internet about my lack of support for the October 7th war, because as Christians, we have to defend Israel. And I would give him the same benefit of the doubt. He's a boomer. His co-hosts around him are boomers who believe that in order to be a Christian, you have to support Israel. And Crowder's audience is boomer. And so he's going to play to his audience, even if he believes differently. It's not worth the bite. He's had a lot of problems in his personal life and public life. Getting the Jews mad at you is probably not on the cards, but on the table right now. So I think, like, you know, a lot of people think it's like he's getting money from AIPAC and stuff like that. It's like, no, I work in media. AIPAC is not giving money to media personalities. They're giving money to politicians and their companies. Media groups, it's a different thing. We could go a whole show on how Israeli and Zionist money controls media. I could tell you the groups, the places, the companies, the ad agencies. We could get into that, but we're not going to go into that right now. I just want to leave that. That's my, I don't know if you agree with me, but it's like people just think, oh, they're all cucks. And it's like, they actually believe what they believe. Like I know that they do.
Well, I will also say this, you know, I know a lot of good Jewish people. I'm not even, this isn't a condemnation of all Jews. And there's a lot of Jewish people who don't even believe the stuff that's being said. And Rabbi Shmuley is hardly representative of them. The issue is that a lot of Jewish people will not condemn fellow Jews who are misbehaving. And this is a problem because everybody else is willing to. You know, I'll condemn the Albanians who are committing crime in the middle of Europe. I'm like, this isn't the way we behave. Okay. We're white. But literally, you know, I will condemn them. This isn't correct. You're not representing us. I will condemn Albanians who are blatantly racist without any kind of, you know, consideration of, you know, they're just painting in these broad strokes in this way or say hateful things. I will condemn that. So I think the failure of somebody to condemn someone just because they're their in group, that's a problem. But again, we do want to be careful and not like paint. Yeah, I grew up in New York. I have some good Jewish friends. I came up in comedy with some good Jewish people who supported me. And they will criticize the people like the Rothschilds. They will say that what they're doing is basically putting us all into slavery. They don't support George Soros. They didn't support Rothschilds. There are these Jewish people who will criticize them. But I had another Jewish friend who's defended George Soros and said some bullshit about, I will never criticize someone who did what they felt they needed to do to survive. And specifically what I had brought up was the fact that George Soros had worked with the Nazis and informed on other Jews and stolen their property. And this was her defense. And I said, that's fucking bullshit. You absolutely should, because at the same time that he was doing that, other people weren't. And that's trash.
Well, yeah. And so all I was going to say is those questions are really easy. People really believe what they believe. So I think the conspiracy idea is true. Like, you could say, why do they believe that? That's a good conspiracy. Like, who funded these ideologies? Who put these into the church? Who created this ideology where Steve thinks that his support for Israel is tied to his faith? That's really true. But do I think that Steve doesn't actually believe what he believes? Of course not. I think he's a very genuine person who genuinely believes what he believes. That's more the power structure that I want to understand. I will read, for the sake of time, a couple more. Accepted decline, Elijah. You should have E. Michael Jones on here. My dad got me watching his show on Rumble, and some of his takes are great. I would definitely have E. Michael Jones. I should have him on. Alex Lindquist also said, I'm just itching to do it again. Take down a show. I don't know what that means. Top Jimmy 68 said, have you heard of the Stone Choir Pod? Two ICMS laymen that got excommunicated for talking about wokeism in the church and the JQ. No, I haven't, but that it sounds interesting. The Virgo on Fire said, these are real conversations we need to have, not what most of the media will cover. You should have Anomaly on soon too, and you'd have a great real conversation with him. That is true. I really should have him on. Shout out as well to a few of the other members here that are in the chat. We also have a D Big Art said, always appreciate you keeping it real, Elijah. You should see if you can get Redeemed Zoomer on. His tweets have been cooking lately. We may check that out. Shout out to our members, John Richards, 1223 in the chat today. And I think that pretty much summarizes all of the... Oh, we have one. Wait. No, someone just said, ravioli, give me some fermioli. Okay, I don't know what that is. But thank you guys for supporting the show directly. Thank you for sending the super chat. Shout out to everybody here who's in the locals chat. Just keeping it real, keeping it legit. You guys having your uncensored talks. I get afraid looking at the chat during the thing because the memes are, everything's illegal in this, in Australia. And then you also, those of you guys watching here at Censored, don't forget to support the show directly at censored.tv. Promo code offensive. It's the easiest way to support the show. Demonetized even on X now. We got demonetized on Twitter. Fully demonetized, permanently demonetized.
What?
Yep, permanently demonetized on Twitter. We just got told one day your monetization has been paused. And lucky for them, I plan ahead and I don't rely on any big tech money to pay for anything at all. So even though the money was good, I just don't even pretend like it doesn't even exist. And donated most of the money I made on there to people anyways. So make sure that you support there because people really don't want the show going. They've demonetized us literally everywhere except for Rumble. So Censored came in, said, we're going to make this possible. We're going to support this show. You guys know I'm a journalist. I work with the Gateway Pundit. I have avenues. I work with the Republican Party. I create campaigns. I do a lot of things. But ultimately speaking, this show has its own funding and it's you guys. So thank you for supporting there. Shout out to everybody who's there. I really appreciate it. You guys are all absolutely fantastic. Leonardo, stand-up comedian, absolutely stunning, amazing, inside and out. Tell us where we can find you, where we can follow you. How can we support you?
Yeah. If everybody wants to go over, head over to my X account. It's Leonardo _ Joni. It's pretty unhinged. And I do say some crazy stuff. A lot of it is just me being funny of it, but you know, everybody knows jokes are based on truth. And then, I am building up my YouTube at Leonardo is funny. And my Instagram is Leonardo.Joni. And I'm going to be starting either a Patreon or, you know, some kind of behind a paywall stuff, because some of the stuff that I want to say, I cannot say. I will never have an OnlyFans unless it comprises of me reading forbidden books and yelling at you.
Yeah.
So sorry to let you guys down.
No. It's good. This is where you can get it. Leonardo Joni. That's really important. Leonardo Joni. Definitely follow Leonarda_Joni, Joni. That's where you can find her there. Account is, by the way, do not get a Patreon. Do not get a Patreon.
I shouldn't get a Patreon. You. Okay. Okay. No.
And I know whatever it is, get a locals. Even Candace is on there. It doesn't matter if it was founded by Dave Rubin or whatever. The people at Patreon are way worse. They'll ban you for just nothing. And locals does not. They have banned a couple people, but I'm telling you, it's of the payment platform. It has been okay. The easiest and best to use. And the reason why, it's the one platform that has built-in live streaming features, which I think is phenomenal, and co-live streaming, meaning you can go on like StreamYard, stream onto your locals and X, and then cut off at X and keep going on locals, and people can keep watching there. So it's like, it's been the best. And they've actually been really cool with me, despite, you know, ideological differences with their founders. They've been really supportive of my work. And they're connected to Rumble. So actually right here, I think usually, yeah. So actually let me go to my screen here. If you have a Rumble page and you're making stuff, they can click join right here. And that literally joins your locals page. So it's connected. It's integrated to your Rumble page, which I think is okay, really, great. And you're awesome. Like me, you're just not going to do too well on big tech. I mean, X is fine, but I'm still a little salty about getting demonetized there. Cause I feel like that was a targeted one. I feel like that was a targeted one. That was like, there was no, they never gave me a reason. It was just like, bye, your money's off. And it's sad. Because I had high hopes for X of being a more of a free speech platform and like being monetarily beneficial. Getting demonetized there without being given a reason is like kind of frustrating, considering the fact that I've never had any strikes. I've never had any strikes on my account.
Wow.
So I've never had any issues, no warnings of deleting. And I think the last time I was locked out of my account was like years ago before Elon even acquired it. So it's like, it is definitely a little frustrating. So don't put all your eggs in one basket, because being racist, transphobic, and homophobic is not always financially beneficial, but at least it feels good.
Well, you know, Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. And I believe that if you tell the truth, you also set a lot of other people free.
True, true, true. All right, Leonardo, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Shout out to everyone in the chat. You guys have been fantastic today. I have some bad news, though. Bad news for you guys. This show will be taking a break for Easter. Crazy. I'm a Christian. I observe Christian holidays. I know that's crazy. I'm still producing content at the Gateway Pundit, and a new series coming out on VNN, which is the video side of the Gateway Pundit. So if you're like, what's VNN? It's like, you haven't really heard of it yet, but it's well-funded, well-attributed, and I have great new segments, and I'm telling you, your parents will love them because they're clean, they follow FCC guidelines, and as Leonardo will know, it's like, I know how much the mainstream media is talking about things, but I still slip in my stories like, what? Kamala Harris telling Netanyahu that he can't do what he's doing. Is Israel doing bad things? That's crazy. That's like, I love that stuff, right? That's blowing my mind. And then I'm like, I love doing this, Leonardo, by the way, like in the stories, because obviously I have to be sensitive to the demo, but I'm like, here's AI PAC celebrating all the senators they said they lobbied that approved and got their funding passed. Here's the names of all the senators. So whether you love Israel or you hate Israel, just know that AI PAC is saying, look, we're paying off the senators to just get this funding sent to a foreign country. And good thing America's in good shape and our border's secure, because who doesn't want more of their tax dollars going to foreign countries? I know how to say it to the boomer demo. I know how to bring it in. So we're keeping it real. We're keeping it powerful. Leonardo, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything coming up? Stand up? Are you doing stand up anywhere? Anything happening?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing stand up. I'm actually on tour right now with Quindale. And then I'm going to be doing some dates with Sam Tripoli, who a lot of people probably know. He's the number one conspiracy comedian. Who's awesome, very awesome. So I'll be doing a bunch of dates around that. I'll post that information on my socials. So if you follow me there, I'll show you to get tickets. But I'll be in Salt Lake City next week. I'll be in Dallas the weekend after. And then I will be in Vegas April 8th through the 14th. And LA, pray for me, April 15th through the 22nd.
Excellent. We will pray for you. Leonardo, thanks so much for coming on. As someone said in the comments, just shut up and say goodbye. All right, we will. But anyway, if you want to get to any other content I'm putting out this week, feel free to check it out on censored.tv. I should be putting up one more show there as well this week that you can watch. But to the rest of you guys, you can watch other places. Shout out to my guests and to everyone watching. Thanks for supporting the show. I love you guys. Happy Easter. Happy Good Friday. Happy Holy Week, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and yet he is risen. Jesus Christ is King, and Jesus Christ is risen. And I don't say that in an anti-Semitic way. I don't think it can be said in an anti-Semitic way. And I think anyone who's trying to subvert the name of Jesus Christ or the power of the movement, the people who love Christ and want to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, are enemies. And I think that they should be treated as such. And someone said, it's Monday, Elijah. Yeah, but I'm saying the next streams are off. Have a great rest of the week. May God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.